Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics. For today, we're going to be discussing this hot topic. Did Jesus ever say that he was God? What do you think? There are many who say that Jesus never claimed to be God, that that was something that the early Christians made up, that is something that has been passed down throughout the ages, and that Jesus is not God because he never claimed to be God. In fact, that's an argument that Muslims will say. I had a Muslim imam come up to me and try to make that point to me, and he was adamant in saying that he was an ex-Catholic and he knew all about Jesus, and he's now a Muslim imam because he has found the one and only true religion. And he said to me, "Pastor, Jesus never claimed to be God." Well, and by the way, you do know that Muslims do not believe that Jesus is God. They believe in Jesus, obviously. They believe he is a prophet, one of the greatest prophets, not the greatest prophet. They believe that Muhammad is the greatest prophet. But they believe in Jesus. They do not believe that he was crucified on the cross. They believe that it was Judas instead of Jesus who was on the cross. And they adamantly say and deny that Jesus is God and that he ever claimed to be God. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you through an exercise that I actually took this Muslim imam through. And this was years back, but my memory is not so far gone that I can't remember how I had shown him some things in Scripture. So it's interesting. As you've read the Bible, the Gospels, do you ever recall Jesus referring to himself as the Son of Man? I'm sure you do. In fact, that was Jesus's favorite self-designation, Son of Man. That's what he called himself more than any other title. In fact, he used that term, Son of Man, over 80 times in the Gospels. In fact, in chapter 1 of John's Gospel, Jesus said to Nathanael after saving him, he said, "Very truly," in chapter 1, verse 51, "Very truly, I tell you," very truly, "amen, amen, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on," listen carefully, "the Son of Man." Jesus was referring to himself. What was he saying? He was saying that he is the true ladder, the true staircase to heaven. Okay? Now, Jesus also called himself the Son of Man in the Gospel of John chapter 3 when he was having a conversation with Nicodemus. Jesus said in verse 13, "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven." Who is that? The Son of Man. So Jesus here also is calling himself the Son of Man. He said earlier to Nathanael, the Son of Man is the stairway or ladder to heaven. He says to Nicodemus, the Son of Man came from heaven, is from heaven. And Jesus said, he is the Son of Man. Now, some of you are saying, well, wait a second, Andrew, that's great, but what does that mean? I mean, that doesn't prove that Jesus is God or is calling himself God. Well, wait a second. Now, you've got to understand the background of this term, Son of Man. A lot of people confuse it and they think, well, Son of Man, Jesus is calling himself a human because, you know, God the Son took on human flesh. Do you think that's what Jesus is saying there when he calls himself the Son of Man? No, the exact opposite. He is not referring to his humanity. He is referring to his, listen, deity. How do we know that? Over in Daniel chapter 7, we see this phrase, the Son of Man, and we get an incredible description of this Son of Man. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel, who had been exiled in Babylon, he had been taken to Babylon on the first wave when King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, in three waves, destroyed Jerusalem and took God's people captive. Daniel was taken captive somewhere around 605 BC. And it was there, while he was in Babylon, that he received a vision from the Lord at night. And it's here in chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, that Daniel gives us an incredible description of this vision he had. And here's what he says. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one, here it is, like a son of man. And now he's going to give us some attributes of this son of man. Number one, he said, he was coming with the clouds of heaven. That's interesting. Didn't Jesus say to Nicodemus, no one has come from heaven except the one who is from heaven? Yeah. Daniel, when he had his dream, and this was, by the way, about 600 years before the birth of Christ, Daniel had this vision, this dream at night, and he saw the Son of Man who was coming with the clouds of heaven, which is interesting. Throughout the Old Testament, when you see that phrase, coming with the clouds of heaven, that always refers to God. Let's go further. He, the Son of Man, approached the Ancient of Days, meaning God the Father, the eternal God. The Son of Man approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. That's interesting. Who is the only one who can stand in the holy presence of God? Someone who is holy. Who is holy? God. Let's keep going. He, the Son of Man, was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. That's interesting. Didn't God say in Isaiah, I will share my glory with no one? But of course, God is not sharing his glory here with just an ordinary man. He is sharing his glory, the glory of the Son of Man, who is God. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language, listen now, worshiped him. Who was the one worthy of worship? God. Who was being worshiped here in this vision? The Son of Man. That must mean that the Son of Man is God, who was led into the presence of the Father. Who was the one led into the presence of the Father? The Son, who is the Son of Man, who has all authority, all glory, and all sovereign power. And every peoples, all the nations of every, and all the peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting, notice everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom, who rules in the kingdom? The king. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So we see here in Daniel's vision, he saw the Son of Man. And the Son of Man, obviously, is the eternal king. Now, some people may say, well, wait a second. In fact, this Muslim imam said to me when I showed him this, wait a second. What does that mean? That has nothing to do with Jesus. That was written 600 years before Jesus. It was written by Daniel. Daniel was in Babylon. How can you connect this pastor with Jesus? I said, well, no. I'm not going to make the connection. I just wanted to show you the background here in the Old Testament of the Son of Man, the one coming on the clouds with the clouds of heaven. And then I took him to Matthew chapter 26. And then I showed him the story of Jesus being arrested and then being brought before the Sanhedrin, who was the ruling class there in Israel, the spiritual ruling class in Israel, who was responsible to enforce biblical law in Israel, obviously under the authority of the Romans. And we see Jesus on that night being brought to the Sanhedrin for this mock or false trial they had. And we read the story in Matthew 26, verse 59, the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus. Isn't that great? They were considered the spiritual leaders, and they're looking for false evidence. That goes to show you how absolutely ungodly those religious leaders were. But nevertheless, we read, they were looking for false evidence against Jesus. Why? So they could worship him? No. So they could put him to death. But interestingly, we're told, they couldn't find any false witnesses or find any false evidence against him, though many false witnesses came forward. Of course they couldn't find false evidence against him because he is the perfect God-man. perfect in every way. Finally, we're told two people came forward and they declared, this fellow, referring to Jesus, said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Now, that was a true statement because Jesus, when he cleansed the temple for the first time at the beginning of his earthly ministry, he did make that statement. When he had cleansed the temple and then the Jewish leaders came to him and said, by what authority do you do this? Show us a sign to show us your authority. Jesus simply responded, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will rebuild it. We know he was talking about the temple, his body. He was talking about his death and resurrection. So these two guys came forward. They had earlier heard Jesus make that statement, and now they came forward at this false, this mock trial, and made this statement. Then the high priest, verse 62, stood up and said to Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? And we're told in verse 63, Jesus remained silent. Guys, you have to understand something. At this point, those religious leaders had nothing on Jesus. They brought false witnesses, all their false statements. None of them could stick. Even the statement the Suze guys made about Jesus saying that destroy this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. I mean, that wasn't even something that was going to get him crucified, not by the Romans. At this point, the Jewish leaders had nothing on Jesus, and we're told he remained silent. He didn't say a word, meaning that had he continued to stay silent, the religious leaders would have been forced to let him go. Jesus would not then have gone to the cross, no suffering, because the religious leaders had nothing on him. And all Jesus had to do was continue to remain silent. Let's find out what happened after the break.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Hot Topics, where today we're discussing this hot topic. Did Jesus ever claim to be God? Now, many people say, well, yeah, Jesus made the I am statements in John's gospel, which he did, which is very clear in the Greek, ego, eimi, I am who I am God. Taking from Exodus 3, verse 14, when God said, I am who I am, when Moses asked him, you know, who shall I say sent me? But some people say, well, no, that's nothing. Because they say that, well, Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man, which is true. And people say, well, Jesus used that phrase about himself, the Son of Man, more than any other phrase, which again is true. And therefore, people say, well, Son of Man, Jesus is clearly saying he's a man. He was a good man, a nice man, a very kind and humble and loving man, a good teacher, but he was the Son of Man. He's man, he's humanity. Jesus himself is saying that. Absolutely not. When Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, which again, by the way, was Jesus's favorite way of referring to himself. He used that phrase over 80 times in the Gospels. When Jesus was calling himself the Son of Man, he was not referring to his humanity. He was referring to his deity. He was calling himself God. And again, if you were with us on the first part of the show, we went back and we found the origins of that phrase, Son of Man, back in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, where Daniel, who was in captivity in Babylon, somewhere around 600 BC, he had received a vision at night. In chapter 7, he tells us about this vision, the vision of the Son of Man. And he described him as one coming with the clouds of heaven. It's a reference to God. He described him as one who had all authority, sovereign power, and glory. That's a description of God. He described him as the eternal king who has an everlasting kingdom. That's a description of God. He described him as one that all nations, people from every language, will worship him. That's a description of God. So Daniel's vision of the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven, Daniel's vision was of the Son of Man who approached in heaven the Ancient of Days, meaning God the Father. That's a picture of God the Son approaching God the Father in heaven. So the Son of Man is deity. Well, some people say, Andrew, that's fine, but you can't make that leap and take that from Daniel in the Old Testament and connect it to Jesus in the New Testament simply because Jesus called himself the Son of Man. Well, you're right. I can't make that leap. But how about if I show you what Jesus said about himself, about the Son of Man? And I took you guys right before we went to break to Matthew 26, where we saw that mock trial that the Jewish religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, they tried to trump up any false charges against Jesus to get him arrested so they could take him to Pilate, who was the governor of that area for Rome, so that Pilate would approve and have Jesus crucified. You know, the Jews couldn't do that at that time. So what would happen was the Jewish Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, it was their kind of like governing spiritual board in Israel, made up of 70 members plus the high priest. The Sanhedrin was responsible for enforcing biblical law in Israel. The Sanhedrin, if there was a problem, they're the ones who would hold court. And then if there was something that they felt that they really needed to get enforced, they would have to go and seek permission of Rome, i.e. the governor who was in charge there, Pilate. So that's what these Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin, were trying to do that night when Jesus was arrested. You do understand that when Jesus was arrested, they didn't take him to Pilate and immediately he was crucified. No, he had to go through this process of first going to the Sanhedrin. Well, the problem was the Sanhedrin, most of the people on the Sanhedrin were spiritual vultures. They weren't believers. They were ungodly. They were servants of Satan. And we know that because, again, as we read before the break, in Matthew 26 and verse 59, we're told that the whole Sanhedrin was looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they didn't find any, though many false witnesses came forward. The Sanhedrin didn't care what was said, or even if it was true, they just wanted to put Jesus to death. They needed false evidence, and they brought in all kinds of false witnesses because they needed to get something on Jesus so they could then go and present it to Pilate, who they hoped then would approve to have Jesus crucified. How about that? Religious leaders, and look what they were doing. We're told that nothing could stick to Jesus, but of course, he's the perfect God-man. Finally, we're told that two other witnesses came forward, and they declared about Jesus. They said, well, he said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days, which Jesus did say as he cleansed the temple for the first time at the beginning of his earthly ministry. We know Jesus was referring to his death and resurrection there, his body, the temple. And then the high priest stood up after these two guys said that and said to Jesus, aren't you going to answer? What is this testimony these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent. And before we went to the break, I emphasized that point. At this point, the religious leaders had nothing on Jesus. Nothing. There was nothing. Regardless of all the false witnesses that came forward and presented all kinds of false evidence, nothing stuck. Nothing that could get Jesus crucified. And we're told that Jesus remained silent, which means all Jesus had to do at this point was continue to remain silent. And guess what? The Sanhedrin would be forced to release Jesus because they had nothing on him. And all he had to do was remain silent. The high priest knew this, and he pulled out the big card and he said, I charge you under oath by the living God. You tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Verse 64, Jesus said, you have said so. Let's stop there. If you recall in the first part of the show, I told you about a conversation I had years back with a Muslim imam who was their religious leader who came to a class I was teaching, and he came with a group of Muslims and basically tried to debate me in front of everybody, saying that Jesus never claimed to be God. And I said, well, you're incorrect in that. They said, no, he said, no, I'm a former Catholic. I know the Bible. I've become a Muslim. I've worked my way to become the imam. I'm the religious guru of our gathering there. And nowhere did Jesus ever claim to be God. And I remember, like, the people in the class, you know, in the church there were kind of looking at us and going, oh, almost gasping and going, okay, who's going to win this showdown at the OK Corral? The pastor, Pastor Andrew, or this Muslim imam, right? And I just calmly took the Muslim imam to this section here in Matthew 26. And I read what I just had read to you. And I also then read when the high priest tried to force Jesus to break his silence by saying, I charge you under oath, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus responded, you have said so. And it was there the Muslim imam stood up and said, I told you, Jesus never claimed to be God. In the Greek, in the original language, Jesus is not making a statement saying, yes, I am the Son of God. Yes, I am the Messiah. It's like it could also be translated that Jesus kind of said, well, you said it. I didn't, right? And he says, see, Pastor, I'm telling you, you cannot use that verse to make the point that Jesus claimed to be God. And I said, okay, I know what the Greek says. I know that the Greek could be taken in one of two ways there, depending on the context. But let's continue to read the full context. Because after Jesus said, you have said it so, he then made it very clear that he is God. Why? How? He quoted Daniel chapter 7 about the Son of Man. He said, but I say to all of you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. He was quoting Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. What was Jesus saying about himself? He was saying, I'm God. The Son of Man is not a reference to the humanity of Christ. Son of Man is a reference to the deity of Christ, the one who has all power, all authority, all glory, the one that all nations and all languages will worship, the one who was led into the presence of the Ancient of Days. Jesus, at his trial, when these religious leaders were blowing it and couldn't get anything off on Jesus to get him to be crucified, Jesus clinched the deal. He said to them, hello, when the high priest said, well, tell us if you're the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus says, let me make sure you really understand what I'm saying about myself. From now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Jesus said, I am God. I am the Son of Man of Daniel 7, which the religious leaders would have clearly understood. And how do we know that? The high priest tore his clothes and said, he has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look now, you heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They said, he's worthy of death. And then they spit in his face, struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, Messiah, who hit you? Do you see what Jesus said about himself? And by the way, the Muslim imam, after I compared what Jesus just said there and took him back to Daniel 7, the Muslim imam had nothing to say. In fact, the people in the class started clapping. Not for me, but seeing what Jesus was saying. When Jesus called himself the Son of Man, he was referring to his deity. He's God. And had Jesus just remained silent at that mock trial, they wouldn't have had anything on them. So isn't it interesting? Jesus wasn't going to let those bozo leaders blow the plan. So instead, he clinches it. He forces the door open for him to be crucified by saying, let me make it so clear to everybody that you're not going to have any question. I am the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. That's why the high priest then tore his clothes and said, he has spoken blasphemy. Let's kill him. Let's crucify him. Do you see what Jesus says when he's calling himself the Son of Man? The religious leaders understood what he meant. And I made sure the Muslim imam understood as well. But just to clinch it, let's go to Revelation as I close here, chapter 1. We see another picture of the Son of Man. This is the glorified Christ, where John, the gospel writer, had a vision, also the writer of Revelation. And we read here, in John's vision, as he was exiled on the island of Patmos, in verse 12 of chapter 1, he said, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and I turned and I saw one among the lampstands who was like the Son of Man. And let's take a picture of the glorified Christ, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. That's his high priesthood there. The hair on his head was white like wool, white as snow. That's his holiness. His eyes were like blazing fire. That's his omniscience. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. He is the judge. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. He is the king. In his right hand, he held seven stars. And coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword, because he is the truth. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Can you imagine John getting this vision of the glorified Christ, the Son of Man? Well, now we understand in verse 17, John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. That's your Son of Man right there. So Daniel 7, we see the vision Daniel had of the Son of Man. Matthew 26, we see Jesus saying, hello, I am the Son of Man. And in Revelation 1, we see the picture of the Son of Man, the glorified Christ. And it is just awesome. We see him in his awesome splendor and glory. Did Jesus ever claim to be God? Oh, yeah. By calling himself the Son of Man, which was his favorite self-designation, calling himself Son of Man, guess what? He was saying, I am God. And that's why we praise him. That's why we worship him. Because he is God, God the Son, who humbled himself and came to this earth and went to the cross and was punished in our place for our sins. He died. Yes, he was dead, but behold, as he declared, I'm alive forevermore. He rose from the dead and he overcame sin and death for us, and he holds the keys to death and Hades because he has all sovereign authority. And through him, the Son of Man, we have life, eternal life, a gift of grace, because Jesus is the Son of Man. Next time somebody questions you or tries to debate with you and say Jesus never claimed to be God, just take them through the Son of Man exercise. They'll have nothing to say. God bless you all.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.